roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Today's chaplain is our Senate chaplain, Reverend Phil Shaw from Rochester, Minnesota. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Senators, I just want to let you know that I appreciate so much the wonderful opportunity to be with you again. It's such a privilege for me to be able to ask God's blessings upon you and for his guidance in the work that you do. Scripture clearly teaches us that God said very clearly that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there. And I know you've been working awful hard. Long meetings and sometimes difficult situations and sometimes frustrating times. But I guess I want to assure you that God does care for you personally. And he cares for this great state of Minnesota. So let's just join together and ask the Almighty if he would stand beside you as you deal with some of these tough decisions that you face. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise to be with us. So help us to be more aware of you. Because you know our needs and you know how inadequate we sometimes feel when faced with the immense challenges placed before us. So help us to be wiser than we know, better than we are, and stronger than we dream. And most of all, give us the courage to do what we feel in our heart is right. So God, thank you for hearing our prayer. Amen.
Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daly, DeKreif, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Fishbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Harrington, Hayden, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingebretson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coonan, Cruz, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, McGuire, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stump, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vanderveer, Wieger, Wolf.
A quorum is present. Moving to the second order of business, executive and official communications, the secretary will read the communication.
Madam President, dear Madam President, I have a vetoed and returning Chapter 243, Senate File 1694, a bill which would legalize the sale and use of additional kinds of fireworks in Minnesota. Sincerely, Mark Dayton, Governor.
Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 1694 and the veto message thereon be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will read the next communication.
Dear Madam President, I have vetoed and returning Chapter 256, Senate File 1933, a bill creating a health care compact. Sincerely, Mark Dayton, Governor.
Senator Senjum.
Madam President, I move that Senate File number 1933 and the veto message thereon be laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to the third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which the amendments, the concurrence of the Senate, is respectfully requested. Senate file number 1755, a bill for an act relating to state government. Senate file 1755 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendment by the House to Senate File 1755 and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committee on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed by part of the House.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to the eighth order of business, introduction of Senate bills. There is one printed on today's Senate bill introduction, and it will be referred as indicated. First reading. Moving to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. There is one. Author's motion. The secretary will read the motion.
Senator Carlson moves that his name be stricken as chief author and the name of Senator Rosen be added as chief author of Senate File 1856.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Reverting to messages from the House, we will take up a conference committee report. The secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted a recommendation report of the conference committee in House File number 2555 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted House File 2555, the bill for an act relating to state government. House File 2555 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, do I make a motion to adopt the conference committee report at this time?
Yes, Senator Bonner.
Okay, thank you, Madam President. I move that the conference committee report changes for House File number 2555 be adopted.
To that motion, Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Madam President. The conference committee, with regard to the Sunset Commission, took action on the motion or the amendment that Senator Perry made when we were on the floor last week. If you recall, members, the pre-conferred Sunset Commission report came back and suggested that we adopt most of the Senate changes that we had worked on with regard to the health licensing boards. Senator Limmer, I appreciate his assistance during that process. We made some significant policy changes and reforms to how we deal with the concerns raised around the health licensing boards. In addition, we adopted changes that were recommended by Senator Torres Ray, where we actually put in some language to have more accountability from the councils of color. With regard to the outcome-based budgeting reforms that we adopted in the Sunset Commission bill, we made greater changes to make sure that those were clear and concise with regards to those who would come under review. Senator Perry moved that other than the health licensing boards, and then on the floor here, we also put the CAP board under that, that rather than have those sunset in 2023, they would sunset in 2018, and then everything else Senator Perry proposed would sunset in 2013. We did not accept that recommendation in conference committee because members, above all else, it simply did not work. those other boards and commissions and councils would not be able to be prepared to come under review this fall. They had done a tremendous amount of work prior to the last sunset review, and it certainly just was not fair, practical, nor necessary to revisit that process this fall. So we did reject that. And we did, however, based on what happened on the Senate floor and based on how strongly we feel that it is important that these groups, which have come under review, do not sunset. Based on that resolve, we accepted Senator Perry's direction to make most of those health licensing boards and most of the other commissions and councils be up for review in 2018 rather than 2023. That was a huge concession from the House. When that bill left the House, their recommendations were consistent with the recommendations of the Sunset Commission itself, which would have been to sunset all of those with the exception of what was singled out earlier in 2023. The House members of the Conference Committee accepted Senator Perry's request to go down to 2018. In addition, we all accepted Senator Perry's solution to the problem we were having with regard to the fiscal note around the Combative Sports Advisory Council, in that we gave the commissioner of Dolly the latitude not to take the staff and therefore remove the fiscal note. In addition, we accepted Senator Perry's request to put in language that we would not be using general fund money to deal with the Combative Sports Council, and we would make sure their indirect costs were assigned appropriately so that that, in fact, wouldn't be general fund money. So really all we're left with then is the councils of color, which the conference committee did agree to changing not only from 2023 way we currently had it, and then not to 2018 the way the rest of the boards and councils were treated, but in fact to treat them differently and have them come before us again on 2014. I will say that while I signed that conference report, I didn't think that it was appropriate nor fair. I think that we did go through a very thorough process. We made recommendations, and so we left the councils of color feeling as though we were singling them out. So while I agree to the change, I do not agree with the change. And members, I want you to know, particularly those who have come to me and expressed disappointment that the councils of color were treated in this way and were left feeling as though they were treated differently because they were councils of color, I hear you and fought and advocated for us adopting the original Sunset Commission language, and I'm sure there will be members who want to speak to that. But members, I would ask that you step back from the discussions around what date is proper, what's right, who's being treated in which way, and understand that the stakes are very high as we choose whether or not to vote for this bill, because all of the health licensing boards, the other boards and commissions and councils, if we do not accept this Sunset Commission bill, will be sunset. Nobody thinks that is what this outcome should look like. So as I conclude my remarks, I would thank those members who served on the pre-conference committee, Senator Lori, Senator Limmer. I thank the members in the chamber who were my colleagues and served on the Sunset Commission itself, Senator Daley, Senator Gazelka, and actually Senator Perry, who I served with. And I would ask that the members join me in supporting this compromise, even if, as I stated, you don't agree with it. I am asking that respectfully you agree to it. Thank you. I stand for questions.
Further discussion on Senator Bonoff's motion. Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President. I would move that House File 2555 be re-referred to the Conference Committee.
Senator Perry, I'm going to restate the motion just so that we've got it right. Senator Perry moved that the recommendations and conference committee report on House File 2555 be rejected and the bill be referred to the conference committee as formally constituted for further consideration. To that motion, Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President. And thank you, Senator Bana, for the description of what happened at conference committee. What you didn't hear is that I did not sign that conference committee because I don't believe that the hard work was done in conference. Yes, we agreed to move the health licensures, the CAP board, disabilities council to 2018, which is a good thing and the way it should be. Unfortunately, it appears nobody wants to address serious issues that we have with some of our councils. Our intent here on the floor earlier was to just move them ahead by 1 year, which would send the signal that they need to get their act together. I believe that these councils do not have a specific goal, nor do they know what their goal and their existence should be. And I believe that we are allocating many general fund dollars, along with legacy dollars, with no prescriptive or directive or goal in mind of what it is we really want to achieve with these councils. And I'm very concerned about that. And I have worked hard with folks. I've talked to my colleague, Senator over here, and we've discussed the councils. But I don't think sending the message that we're going to extend them 2 years and then give them another year to wind down is the right message to send. This is action that needs to be taken now. And we have to work with these councils and either decide one way or the other. Are they mini agencies? Are they advisory boards? Or should they even be in existence? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't continue funding, but we have to have a direction. And I contend that the lack of oversight, and I said this at conference committee, the lack of oversight that this legislature has given boards and councils is atrocious. I don't like the rubber stamping, and I believe that's what's happened over the years, and I believe this can be worked out in a better way for the citizens of the state of Minnesota moving forward.
Further discussion, Senator Bonoff.
Madam President, Senator Perry, you have been the chair of state government for the last 2 years, and those councils and commissions are under your jurisdiction. So, Senator Perry, if those councils were councils that you thought should have been constituted in some other fashion or organized around other guiding principles, that was certainly within your purview as chair. It would be also within the next state government chair under their purview in the coming biennium. I would like members to watch what's happening here on the Senate floor. I think it's important, and so I would also move the Senate be under call for the duration of the proceedings.
Senate is under call.
And Madam President, I will ask for a roll call to Senator Perry's motion.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, we have just...
Senator Bonoff, I move
that further proceedings be dispensed with and the absent members are...
The Sergeant
brought.
Will be instructed to bring in the absent members. On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, we have just a few days, perhaps, left in this legislative session. You know, it could be three, could be up to, what, I don't know, seven, eight, whatever. But the time is coming to a close. And the talk in our communities is whether or not this body can compromise, whether or not this body has the political aptitude to come together and resolve the differences among us, and in particular, the three bills that are outstanding that Minnesotans are watching are the bonding bill, the stadium bill, and the tax bill. It looks like we could lose whether or not we have a Viking stadium based on our ability to come to resolution on some of these other matters. We don't have a track record in this legislative body of being able to compromise. We were in shutdown mode last session. Senator Perry is now putting at risk the fate of our health licensing boards, which licenses our doctors, our nurses, our podiatrists, our nutritionists, our mental health professionals. He's putting at risk our amateur sports commission, which is, you know, providing services to the amateur sports activities successfully all over the state. Our CAP board, our councils of color, all of those are at risk with this motion. Over a year, we're talking about a year. We all are going to be running for re-election. We all completed our work, and we said no. The members who served on the commission, the other conferees, we said no. We're willing to indulge Senator Perry's request and come back one more time with all the councils of color for 2014. We did say we'd be willing to do that. That was a huge step from where we had left our work at 2023. We went from 2023 down to 2014. But for Senator Perry, 1 year is worth having everyone sunset. That is the kind of inflexible intransigence that is the enemy of our nation. It is happening
Madam
in Washington, D.C., and we cannot allow it to
point
happen.
Madam President.
Senator Howe, state your point.
I rise for a point of order.
State your point of order.
Madam President, I think the body needs to be reminded that comments should be directed towards the President of the Senate and not towards other senators.
Thank you, Senator Howe. Senator Bonoff. Madam President, I was looking directly at you, and I am talking about what happens in a legislative body when we fail to compromise. The stakes are high and people's lives are at stake. So I will conclude my remarks, but I will conclude my remarks for asking this body to be big today, to get past our differences and to look at the bigger picture and come together and unanimously reject that motion and accept a compromise that we agreed to in good faith, that the Republican members of the House Conference Committee as well as those members of the Sunset Commission agreed to. And I would ask this body to act in good faith and accept this conference report.
Further discussion to Senator Perry's motion. Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President. You know, I have to disagree with Senator Bonoff. We did compromise. We compromised greatly in this bill, and I appreciate that. Again, I go back to we're charged with oversight and the accountability in making the tough decisions, which weren't made in this conference committee, which were just kind of swept under the rug again, because they are tough decisions to make. And I contend that we do have great representation. If the councils fear that they're not represented, they are. Two House members and a senator, they have great representation. Unfortunately, the reason we're at the point we're at today is because of lack of oversight. Decisions need to be made. As I mentioned before, I've talked a few times with Senator Hayden about how do we get to the point we need to get to? How do we make those decisions? Well, part of that is getting the right people and the boards and the advisory councils and working within. But we cannot continually spend taxpayer dollars on a rudderless ship. And that's what's been happening here, friends. That's what's been happening over the last 20, 30, 40 years, the lack of accountability. And that's why I would like to have this re-referred back to conference committee, because there's more discussion that has to be done, and that's going to take some time, and we need to do it. Thank you.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I rise in support of Senator Perry's motion. I think it's absolutely appropriate to continue the discussion following the release of the conference committee report. Of course, until it came out, so many of us didn't really know what was going to be in it. And I feel that there are a number of senators on the floor that do not agree with the conference committee report, and I would very much like to continue the discussion and therefore support Senator Perry's motion. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Hayden.
Thank you, Madam President. And I rise in opposition of Senator Perry's motion. We had spoke somewhat at length about the recommendations that left this body on its way to conference committee about looking at the various boards and how long that they should be extended. And, you know, one of the issues that I brought up on the record was some of the challenges that the Council of Black Minnesotans had, and that, frankly, they were on the road to being a lot more functional, that they had gotten new members on their board. They had made a decision to go with a new director, which they're in the process of looking for that now. They have made the changes, but there are the other councils that haven't, that have been doing good work, that haven't been quite as contentious, without direction. And Senator Perry is right that some of the issues, or most of the issues, emanate from us and from the executive branch at not giving the councils the kind of direction and the kind of access, and frankly, really kind of valuing the expertise that they bring to the table. Look around the chambers, members. Look around the chambers. It's myself, Senator Harrington, and Senator Patricia Torres-Reyes that are people of color in this body. That is disproportionate to the population of Minnesota. It is disproportionate. We have not listened. We have not given them access. And to my good friend Senator Perry, as he talks about the conversations we had, I will say this, that if we have a rudderless ship, then Senator Perry has been the captain, and he has not given them the direction that he should. And that the chair's before them, so you don't think that I'm picking on Senator Perry. We've had great conversations. We must take responsibility ourselves. And as we now have taken a look, shine the light on all of the councils and told them and started to give them direction of what our expectations are, we have to give them an opportunity to do so. And I think that that is what we're doing. We have come together, we have said, listen, we need your help. We need to get insight on issues that affect people of color. We have the greatest disparities in the nation in education, in unemployment, in health access with people of color. We cannot ignore this anymore. And to go back and not give the councils of color and others the explicit recommendation and understanding, or the, so that they can tell us what we need to do to help us, for us not to really sit down and not just attack them and say that they haven't done anything, but actually add value to them, actually give them the resources and the direction that is needed. That is our fault, members. And so frankly, I'm not sure, and I trust that Senator Perry really wants to work on these issues, but sending it back to conference committee when we've had all summer, all session long to talk about these issues. Senator Perry, whose committee, these councils, is that it is his jurisdiction that the councils operate, that he could have, we didn't have one hearing with the councils directly other than the Sunset Commission. We did not have one hearing in Senator Perry's committee in which I serve to ask them those questions. I was not involved in any conversation with them to give them the explicit challenge to do things differently. So now that the Sunset Commission has come forth and has said, we understand that there's some issues, we want you to move forward, but we want in 2 years to take another look at you, and the Council of Black Minnesotans will come back next year as part of an agreement that I was comfortable with. with the legislative auditor to look at some of the issues that they had. Give them an opportunity now that we are engaged with them. Now that we have said that we value the advice that they give us an opportunity to show what they have. I'm not sure why we're in this conversation today. We just had this last week. I'm not sure why we're not moving forward and getting on with the state's business and all of the things that we know we have to do to get out of this session and be a success and go tell our stories to Minnesotans. And why would we would be here taking the time to go over something that we've had all year to talk about and act as though going back to a conference committee would change that outcome. So I would tell members to do not support the Perry motion, to support Senator Bonhoff in moving forward so that we can move forward. And after, and once we get done with this, we can get to the large, luminous issues that we have to deal with before we leave here today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am standing in opposition to Senator Perry's recommendation to send back the conference committee report. And members, I really have to let you know, I have worked very closely with the councils for a number of years, and I have worked with the council since I became a senator. I have asked for their advice, I have received reports, and I have worked together to advocate for policies to change some of the very challenging issues that we face today affecting children of color. I think that these institutions are important. I think that you really have an opportunity to ask for advice and expertise from four councils that are instituted to really support us in doing research and helping us do our work. I believe that there are certain things that Senator Perry is correct about, which is that the way these councils are structured today really do not allow for reviewing the work and really looking at what we get out of the work that we do collectively, and we should change that. I think we should try to figure out a way to do it. Senator Perry had an opportunity as the chair of the committee that actually governs these state agencies to actually put those recommendations for us. I was part of that committee, and honestly, we didn't do our work. We just didn't do our work. We didn't put these recommendations together. So I think Senator Bonhoff is correct, and I intend to support Senator Bonhoff's approach, which is she, and I, you know, I think that Senator Bonhoff was put in a very difficult place. All of the members were put in a tough place in trying to come to an agreement that singled out these councils in a very significant way. The recommendation to get the council to work until 2014 and come up with a recommendation to look at accountability and work for the future is a good conclusion. So, members, we cannot single out these councils. I don't think it is responsible today to decide that we don't like the work we do, then we're going to get rid of them. The work that they do is significant. We need to address disparities. We need to work with minorities, and these councils do represent minorities. Members, I think this will be a terrible message for the public that without doing the work and without assuming responsibility, we simply want to get rid of these councils and eliminate the possibility of having access to a group of individuals who have expertise about issues that are very important to the state of Minnesota.
Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I rise to support Senator Perry's request to send it back to conference committee. It was my understanding that we had 100% agreement. We're not there yet. We do have more time. I think it's prudent to work through every detail, and that's why I take that position. Thank you.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President. First, to my colleague, Senator Hayden, yes, the councils were in front of the state government committee. We did discuss with them. I want to address just a couple of things here. Ben said that I didn't do my job. The job was I helped develop the Sunset Commission in Senate File 1047 last year. And through the whole process, in the 11th hour, the teeth of the Sunset Commission was taken away from them to make the right decisions. But yet I let them move forward, which they did, 30 plus, maybe even 40 hours listening. I still contend that the job that wasn't done was the job of moving the councils forward. As a businessman, you take a look at every single department. And those that are showing a return on investment, those that can articulate what their purpose is, those that can articulate what their goals are, you set and let move forward like we did with the health licensing boards, like we did with the CAP board, like we did with the disabilities. But those that cannot articulate what their purpose is, those that cannot articulate what their goals are, those that cannot articulate a return on investment of citizens' taxpaying dollars, need to be highly scrutinized and watched over and worked with. I contend, if you push them out 2 years, you're doing what many governmental bodies do these days, is sweep issues and problems under the table. I admire Senator Bonoff for what she's done. Senator Torres Ray and I have had discussions, and our good, happy friend, Senator Hayden, has sat down with me, and we've talked about these issues. So at this point, members, I believe Senator Hayden is a man of his word. I believe Senator Bonoff and Torres Ray will do the same if they come back next year. And we'll really dig into these issues that the citizens of Minnesota want answers to. We need to quit sweeping them under the carpet. We need to make the tough decisions. And I would hope they would do that if they come back next year. With that being said, I'll withdraw my motion.
Senator Perry has withdrawn his motion. We are back to Senator Bonoff's motion. Discussion to that. Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I have to say thank you to Senator Perry and to publicly commit to work on this issue. This is incredibly important to our communities, and I believe, Senator, that you are correct. We need to do better. We owe this to our kids and to communities that are overrepresented in areas where we need to pay attention to. So I would like to thank you for withdrawing your motion and making a commitment to work on this issue intensely in the future. Thank you.
Further discussion of the Bonoff motion. Seeing none, Senator Bonoff renews her motion that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 2555 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will give House File 2555 its third reading.
House File Number 2555, a bill for an act relating to state government, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2555.
All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 47 ayes and 19 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Senjum.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate that General Orders Number 56, House File 1721, be made special orders for immediate consideration.
Senator Senjum has designated Number 56 on the General Orders calendar as a special order. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate File 1441 creates a demolition loan program, and it just expands the existing redevelopment program to include loans for demolition purposes. It will allow the local units of government who need to remove the blighted structures from their communities, and we all have those in our communities, members, but do not have, these communities do not have any redevelopment plan for the site. The bill also has been amended to include a provision to eliminate a semi-annual reporting requirement for the contamination cleanup grant program. But the annual program reporting would remain. So there is a cost savings, actually, members, of $400 per year. There is no fiscal impact of this bill. That we were hoping to receive some money into this grant program, but we're going to have to wait on that. So it's just giving statutory authority for the demolition loan portion of the program. And members, again, as I say, we all know we can go through our communities and there's issues. Every community has issues with some buildings that maybe have asbestos or just need to be torn down, and perhaps something is not planned for that site, but it sure would look a lot better. And frankly, we're in competition with our surrounding states. So anything we can do for our local communities, this is a deed bill, and I ask for your support with this, and I'm open for questions.
Further discussion on House File 1721. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. I have the A6 amendment.
Senator Peterson offers the A6 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Peterson moves to amend House File 1721 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate April 24, 2012, as follows, page 6 after line 3, insert. This is the A6 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, you recall this amendment addresses the Senate file you voted on and passed just a few weeks ago relating to the Barber Board here in Minnesota. That bill got hung up in the other body, and this was the best vehicle we saw to be able to bring this back forward and help out these small businesses across the state of Minnesota. So we'd be grateful for your support in adding this amendment to this bill.
Further discussion on the A6 amendment. Senator Higgins.
Madam President, I challenge the germaneness of the Barber Board being with tearing down buildings.
Advice for the chair.
Senator Peterson. Madam President, it's just simply within the Department of Employment and Economic Development who has authority over this board as well.
Madam Chair, advice.
Senator Higgins.
Madam Chair, one day last week, an amendment on a June primary was found to not be germane to an elections bill. So just being in the same agency is no way makes it germane.
The A6 amendment is not germane. Further discussion on House File 1721. Further discussion on House File. Oh, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. I offer the A1 amendment.
Senator Nelson offers the A1 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Nelson moves to amend House File 1721 as amended pursuant to Rule 45 adopted by the Senate April 24, 2012, as follows. Page 6 after line 3, insert. This is the A1 amendment.
To the A1 amendment, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, members. This is the Angel Investor Tax Credit that includes a policy change designed to encourage greater investment in greater Minnesota. We've already discussed this on the floor.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in support of this A1 amendment. We had a very lengthy discussion on the floor in the tax committee, and I think it's a fair percentages that are going to Greater Minnesota and for the Angel Investment Tax Credit to Greater Minnesota and to the entire state. So I would ask for your support on this.
Madam President.
Senator Marty.
Madam President, Senator Nelson, could you tell me what kind of a tax break it means for one of these angel investors if the investment's in greater Minnesota?
Senator Nelson.
Madam President, this bill calls for a 40% tax credit as opposed to the current 25%.
Senator Marty.
So, Madam President, Senator Nelson, in other words, if I'm a angel investor, meaning I've got lots of money and allowed to qualify to make these investments. I know they're risky, but the reason you make the risky investment is because there's a huge rate of return. On top of that huge rate of return, I might expect we're going to give them $40 off of every $100 they invest. We're going to just hand it to them in a credit. I mean, that's enormous. Somebody who's making a $100,000 angel investment, we're going to give them a $40,000 credit?
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. This is a continuation of the current incentive that we have, but to Senator Marty's question, this is not so much about the credit for the investor. The point of this provision is to get the money to the startup companies to help with the creation of the new products, the new ideas, and the jobs that go with them.
Senator Marty.
Madam President, Senator Nelson, is this not being discussed in the tax conference committee?
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Marty, yes, this is in the tax bill. It also passed out of the Jobs Committee as well as the Tax Committee. But as we know in this body, it's very good to have important pieces of legislation sprinkled in many places.
Senator Marty.
Madam President, I think a lot of our constituents, if they can afford to put away $100 in a savings account every month, they'd be happy to have a 10% tax credit for putting money into something, let alone 25%, which is already in law, let alone 40%. In effect, we're taking the wealthiest investors in the state and giving them $40 for every $100 they invest. I mean, you can't go wrong, even if the investment's not a great deal. You're still making a huge amount. I remember when this came up in tax committee, I was kind of horrified that we were going above the 25% that was already in there. If you want to encourage it in greater Minnesota, cut it down in the metro area below 25%. But $40 for every dollar invested, we're giving them in a tax credit? I think this is outrageous. I urge you to vote against the amendment, and I ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, this is a jobs bill. It is about getting needed investment to startup companies. That is something that is drastically needed in our society, particularly in Minnesota. And in greater Minnesota, we are simply asking that that investment be increased as far as the credit. Currently, the vast majority of this funds is in a particular area of the state. It's very important that all areas of the state have the ability to attract this needed investment for job creation and job growth. I encourage a green vote.
Senator Marty.
Madam President, Senator Nelson, if the goal was to take some from the metro area and distribute it more around the state, cap it in the metro area at 10% credit. The idea that we're going to give anybody a $40 credit for every $100 they invest. If so, why don't we give this to the small investors? I mean, that might make some sense instead of giving it to the wealthiest people, because frankly, 99% of our constituents aren't able to qualify as angel investors. They don't have the kind of money to do that. And giving them a 40% tax credit is incredible.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. And thank you, Senator Marty, for your line of questioning. However, this was heard in the tax committee. It has nothing to do with 40% tax credit. This is the angel investment tax credit. This is 40% of the investment has to be in greater Minnesota. 40% of the population is out in greater Minnesota. We had a lengthy discussion about this in tax committee. And with that, I'd also like to thank Senator Metzen for his earlier work on this. Senator Bonhoff has been very instrumental on this. I've worked on this for years and years. It has nothing to do with the amount of credit we're giving. It's the where it's dispersed. The 40% through must be dispersed through the state, 40% of it going to greater Minnesota, because that's what the percentage is going forward. And I must say, too, a lot of the angel investment tax credit initiative is in the biotechnology, and that is not only medical devices, it's agriculture and manufacturing. And so I think this is a very fair A1 amendment, and I ask for your support on it.
Senator Vanderveer.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Rosen yield?
Senator Rosen, will you yield? Senator Rosen, will you yield? Senator Rosen, will yield. Senator Vanderveer.
Senator Rosen, does your bill, what companies qualify for the angel investment? Is it every company, or is it certain types of companies, or what? Can you give us a little description?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you. Senator Vanderveer, this is actually Senator Nelson's amendment, but the angel investment tax credit goes to the biotechnology business, as I said, to high tech, and the definition of biotechnology, since I worked with this biotechnology since the year I got elected with Senator Kelly and Senator Magnus in the House side and Representative Mahoney, and we concluded that biotechnology is, again, manufacturing, agricultural products, and of course, our very important medical devices in this state.
Senator Vanderveer, follow up.
So, Senator Nelson, I guess it's your amendment. So, this is for certain companies that we determine that a certain type should qualify for that, but it doesn't change the overall business climate in the state. Is that for all companies in that size or industry? Is that correct?
Senator Nelson, to that question.
Thank you, Madam President. I didn't hear all of the question, but I think I got the gist of it. This is an amendment to our current angel investor tax credit. So all of the parameters of the current angel investor tax credit are still in place here. The only thing that changes is the amount of the credit. And the growing industries, some of the growing industries are the high tech, the biotech industries. This is what this addresses. It is not a silver bullet for the uncompetitive tax climate that we have in this state as a whole. It does help address a piece of that.
Senator Rest, state your point of order.
Madam President, I would ask that you rule that this amendment is not germane under Rule 35.1 and 35.2, both clauses.
Advice for the chair. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President. I have looked at the bill, read the language of the bill and its intent, and looked at the amendment. It seems to me they are far afield, other than very generally dealing with economic development. Two vastly different programs, and I don't think they meet the test of 35-2 clauses 1 and 2.
Further advice for the chair? Senator Ortman. Advice for the chair.
Madam President?
Senator Nelson, advice?
Yes, I will withdraw this amendment.
Senator Nelson has withdrawn the amendment. Further discussion on House File 1721. Senator Skoy?
Thank you, Madam President. I have the A5 amendment.
Senator Skoy offers the A35 amendment. The Secretary will report.
I'm sorry, it's the A51 amendment.
Senator Skoy offers the A51 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Skoy moves to amend House File 1721 as amended, pursuant to Rule 45, adopted by the Senate April 24, 2012, as follows. Page 6, after line 3, insert. This is the A51 amendment.
To the amendments, Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President. This is the same language as Senate File 2336, which is on general orders. It's to allow Mahnomen County, the City of Mahnomen, and the White Earth Reservation to form a joint powers board so that they can bring natural gas into the city to save them on their utility bills, and I'd ask for your support.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Skoy, would you yield?
Senator Skoy will yield. Senator Rosen.
Thank you. Senator Skoy, can you just explain how this traveled through the Senate and where it's in the House, please?
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Rosen, this bill was heard in the Energy Committee, passed out of committee. It is on the Senate floor on general orders. It got messed up in the House somehow, and I don't know exactly what happened over there, but it didn't move, and we've been looking for ways to move this because it's important to the community.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. And we did, thank you, Senator Skoy. We thoroughly vetted this through in the Energy Committee, and I ask for your support on the A51 amendment.
Further discussion on the A51 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Skoy renews his motion the A51 amendment be adopted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion on House File 1721? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 1721 its third reading.
House File Number 1721, a bill for an act relating to economic development, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 1721. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll,
There being 64 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. We will take up the Senate confirmation calendar. We can... Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the report from the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety, reported February 2, 2012, pertaining to the appointment of the Commissioner of Human Rights, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Limmer.
I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Before I go to the next motion, I'd like to describe the process that we have before us. I would like to place the name of Kevin Lindsay as the Commissioner of Human Rights to be adopted today. Mr. Lindsay has quite a bit of experience in civil litigation. For 15 years, he's been an attorney and handled complex legal issues regarding public policy as well as the issues of human rights in a variety of law firms. Kevin Lindsay is a respected lawyer and advocate with deep experience in also community issues, working in the areas of fairness in the workplace as well as in the community at large. I believe he'll be a strong and professional voice in this particular office. I have met with him a number of times in the last 16 to 17 months regarding the issues that come before the Judiciary and Public Safety Committee. He's always seemed to me to be very fair-minded, professional, and he doesn't sit back. If he has an issue with you, he'll certainly raise it, and that's a good thing for public discourse and policy development. He also brings in private experience, private sector experience. He was the chief operating officer and general counsel of Axis Incorporated, where he's responsible for managing human resources, their operations, ensuring legal and administrative compliance and risk management. I believe him to be very well suited for this particular appointment.
You need to make the motion, Senator.
Thank you, Senator, or Madam President. I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Judiciary and Public Safety, reported February 2, 2012, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Commissioner of Human Rights to Mr. Kevin M. Lindsay.
Further discussion, Senator Higgins.
Madam President, I am going to vote yes on this this commissioner's confirmation. Not only Senator Limmer went through Commissioner Lindsay's bona fides, and they are excellent, but he's also somebody that I see in the community. He's at community meetings. He's at community festivals. He's very open, very accessible, and he is kind of the kind of person that I think we would like to have out representing our state and our communities. So I'd encourage a yes vote.
Further discussion on the Limmer motion? Seeing none, Senator Limmer renews his motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Continuing on the confirmation calendar, Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the report from the Committee on Jobs and Economic Growth, reported February 15th, 2012, pertaining to the appointment of the Commissioner of the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Michelle.
Madam President, do you want me to move that the... Okay. Madam President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Michelle. Senator Michelle, you can make that third motion and
I thought you wanted me to
speak a little bit on whatever you'd like to your motion.
Okay. I will... Madam President, thank you. I'd like to move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Jobs and Economic Growth, reported February 15th, that the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Mary Tingerthal as Commissioner of the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency.
To that motion, Senator Michelle.
Members, the Senate Jobs Committee held a confirmation hearing on Mary Tingerthal several months ago now in mid-February. This is indeed now the second year that we've been able to work with Ms. Tingerthal. I have found her to be smart. I found her to be responsive. In fact, although her agency has a very small part of the state budget, the state general fund budget, she was very helpful last spring at this time and even last summer during some of the budget negotiations. She has a wealth of experience, indeed over three decades of experience in this field, both in the private and public sector. We had a good hearing, and I think there's a strong bipartisan support for her, and look forward to your confirmation today.
Further discussion of Senator Michelle's motion. Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President, and I rise to support the confirmation of Mary Tingerthal. The hearing that Senator Michelle just referred to was a very long hearing. We had no bills on the calendar that day, and so therefore we took the whole hour and a half talking to Ms. Tingerthal. She did a great job of answering all our questions. In fact, we got more information out of her than we thought we probably could have, and she is very, very well experienced at this job. She knows her job, and she's very well qualified for this commissioner job, so I urge your support.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. I've had the opportunity over the past year and a half to work with the commissioner and her staff, and they have been very responsive, very knowledgeable, and I am happy to support her confirmation.
Senator Higgins.
Madam President, I too urge a yes vote. Commissioner Tingerthal has been very involved in the rebuilding of North Minneapolis after the tornado. Personally rebuilding, she was there on Saturday morning with a rebuilding together event, and she's just another one of our great representatives of our state government out there working in the community.
Senator Hayden.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to add in the support for the confirmation of Commissioner Tingerthal. She, as being a housing advocate and working in this field, I know that she has worked awfully hard in the time that she's been there to bring together all the housing advocates. Many of us, as we deal with housing issues, we find that it to be complex. There are a lot of different housing organizations and a lot of people in need, and she has done a successful job with her staff in bringing the housing advocates together so that they can come up with a comprehensive plan on how we're going to continue to build affordable housing and rehab the housing that has been either lost or damaged due to the foreclosure crisis that we all know that we went through. So once again, I would ask that we confirm her, and I'll be voting yes. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Michelle renews his motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on the Senate confirmation calendar, Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the report from the Committee on State Government, Innovation, and Veterans reported March 29, 2012, pertaining to appointments to the Gambling Control Board be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Perry.
Madam President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Perry.
Madam President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on State Government, Innovation, and Veterans reported March 29, 2012, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointments to the Gambling Control Board of Gino Fragnito, William Gillespie, Susan McCarville, Norman Pint, and Gary Sigfrinius.
To that motion, Senator Perry.
We had some good questions and appearances by the Gambling Control Board, and we're very appreciative of the good job that they have been doing.
Discussion to Senator Perry's motion. Seeing none, Senator Perry renews his motion. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Perry.
Madam President, I move that the report from the Committee on State Government, Innovation, and Veterans, reported March 29, 2012, pertaining to the appointments of the Minnesota Racing Commission, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Perry.
Madam President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Perry.
Madam President, I move in accordance with the report from the Committee on State Government, Innovation, and Veterans, reported March 29, 2012, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of the Minnesota Racing Commission, Dan Earhart, Camille McArdle, David Rowe, and Mark Urista.
To that motion, Senator Perry.
Again, Madam President and members, having vetted these folks, and we believe that we should move these appointees forward. Again, we're very happy with the job that they are doing for the citizens of the state.
Discussion to the Perry motion. Seeing none, Senator Perry renews his motion. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Remaining under motions and resolutions, there is an author's motion. The secretary will read the motion.
Senator Hoffman moves that her name be stricken as a co-author to Senate File 1402.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will read the next motion.
Senator Wolf moves that her name be stricken as chief author, shown as co-author, and shown as co-author, and the name of Senator Jungbauer be added as chief author of Senate File 1402.
To that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam President. There's no other work immediately in front of the Senate, and so I believe that it would be appropriate to make a motion to adjourn to the call of the chair or until it's not.
To recess.
Yes, I'm sorry. To recess until 5 o'clock approximately.
Senator Roebling moves a recess until 5 o'clock. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion. We are in recess.